This episode of the Golf Podcast is sponsored by Ultimate Golf. Attention golf instructors, if you have a passion for the game and you want to join UG as a golf expert, then you can do so easily through their amazing platform, and you can even get paid for it. Some of our listeners may run a golf school or an academy, but they crave a little more recognition for all the great work that they do for their students. Now UG can put you and your teaching philosophy on the map. You can produce or promote training products. If you have ideas for a new product or you want to promote an existing product, then you can collaborate with the team at UG to not only create it, but they're going to help you promote it too. And you can create online classes and extend the reach of your audience to golfers all over the world. So promote yourself the easy way to an ever-growing audience of golfers. Whether you want to promote yourself or your coaching services or both, Ultimate Golf will help put you in front of your ideal audience. So check them out today at ultimategolf.com/work with us. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, welcome back to the Golf Podcast. This is episode number 125. I'm Frank. As always, I have Mike here with me. Mike, how's it going?
It's going well, Frank. Excited to get... I'm playing Trump's new Ferry Point course this week.
Cool.
Down by the Verrazano. So, you know, I'm like still getting out there trying to play all these really cool, unique new courses that are in the news, and people are all out there screaming, you know, you should try this new course, this one and that one. But other than that, man, you know, the summer golf is upon us here. It's beautiful weather where we are. I mean, I've been playing a lot of golf. I know you're still dealing with your back pain, but I'm hoping you and I can get out there and at least play maybe 9 holes pretty soon.
We may just be able to do it. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. With the chiropractor doing the x-rays, got a little bit of a twist in my spine, but we're trying to work it out. We're going to get there. So tonight, though, really fun episode. We've got some exciting guests coming on because this is a topic that I always enjoy. Any type of, you know me, the mental side of the sport is kind of like where I have the most fun. That's what I've kind of embraced the most. And I find that just making those small improvements in your mental game, you just kind of learn so much about not only the game, but yourself. So I'm excited for this, you know, this episode. We're going to be talking about confidence, that big, important thing that comes up so often where people say, how do I play regularly with confidence? So we're going to be talking to two really, you know, well-known figures who just completely, you know, dedicate themselves and understand this subject. We're going to be talking to Steve Band, first of all. He's a leading PGA and LPGA Tour coach. Some of his students include Stuart Appleby, KJ Choi. He's also a partner in the Band Lynch Golf of Band Lynch Golf in Australia. And get this, Mike, their team has coached students in 30 PGA Tour wins and 18 wow. web.com wins. So he definitely knows what he's doing. And we're also going to speak with John Hyman. He's completed quite a few international golf tours himself. So he's has that playing experience, but he's one of the leading authorities on emotional intelligence and how it relates to the sport. So he's got a lot of input that he can bring to the table when it comes to confidence. And I'm just chomping at the bit to pick their brain. So I'm really looking forward to getting them on the show. Before we do, as always, I like to just kind of highlight some of the goings on with our audience and with what's going on and the feedback that we've been getting. Really great stuff. One thing that's kind of funny is when we were away on vacation, we kind of made the mistake of not telling people in advance, and we got ribbed pretty good in the Golf Podcast Facebook group, which was a lot of fun. Everybody saying, "Where are you guys?" And they told us never to take a break again. So I got a really good kick out of that one. But it was nice to get away and get a break for a week. But just a couple things I want to highlight. One thing was David left a message on our Facebook page saying that our podcast on aiming advice, which I got to look which episode that was, because that was one of my favorites, 121. If you didn't get a chance to go back and listen to that, check that out, because that was hands down, I think he even said in the episode, one of my favorite topics. But he said it was the best advice podcast he's ever listened to. So yes. Some really great feedback there. I love to hear that. And he said, he talks about how he's always kind of taken aim before. before a shot, but he was looking way down range. And just by kind of making that little adjustment and looking for those targets a little bit closer, he said he was able to, he normally shoots in the low 90s at a couple of, he even had a couple penalty strokes on the front nine, but he tied his best ever nine holes, shooting a 42. So it's amazing. Like, and that's what I love about this. Yes, we talk about with golf, there's so many things that it takes time. You know, it's a constant learning process. But there's other things that you can make these quick adjustments that can really start to click, and you can get a lot out of your game pretty quickly. I mean, I love hearing this when people say and listeners say they tried something out and they got a really great response out of it. And I love this type of thing. We talked about strategy before, you know, course management, but something like aiming. You don't need to change any aspect of your swing. So that's what I like to see, where you can kind of like that low-hanging fruit, you can just very quickly see that improvement. So again, you know, thank you very much, David, for the feedback. Love seeing that. Had a lot of other, you know, emails come in over the last couple of days. Really, you know, again, I love hearing this. I love hearing where people are progressing and making that improvement. We talked to Kevin, had emailed us. Again, I'm excluding last names because I'm not sure who wants their name set on the air, so to speak. But he said he started playing golf again after about 3 years ago. And he's really made a lot of strides since then. So it sounds a lot like me coming back to the game after being away from it for a while. He says his father's a 10 handicap and he's worked himself down to a 10.4. So he's kind of nice. Getting to his goal of matching where his father's at. And I said, if he keeps up working the way he's working, he's undoubtedly gonna surpass him, unless I don't know, maybe his father's a listener of the show as well.
That's right.
Maybe he's keeping on track there. So Kevin, thanks for writing in. And I know Mike, you were contacting him because he actually, a funny thing, we have people who listen to us from all over the world, and he lives right down the street from you, so you kind of gave him some guidance as far as local tournaments and stuff to play in, so that was really cool.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it's funny getting emails from Australia, Germany, all around the world, and then you get someone right down the street who's played at the same clubs that you play every single day.
Yep.
Small world, Frank.
Super cool. So again, that's what we love to hear. No matter where you are, write in, email us, you know, podcast@golficity.com. Leave a message on our new Facebook group, which is a free group, free to enter. Just go onto Facebook, just search The Golf Podcast under groups. You'll see it pop up. You'll see the Golficity logo. Just join up and then you can chat with us in there as well. And one other thing I want to mention before we kind of dive into the meat of the episode here, if you haven't had a chance to do so yet, please take a moment to just hit that subscribe button on iTunes and leave us a quick review. Those iTunes reviews are the best way for you guys to help us grow this show. You know, that's the way that new people discover the show, and we really love that. Those are one of my favorite emails to get, when people say, I just found the show, I'm hooked, and they go back and listen to as many episodes as they can. So that's a great way for us to grow the show, and it's a great way you can kind of take 2 minutes out of your day just to help us out by just leave us an honest review. We love the feedback. We use it to help improve the show, and also just having those reviews helps us getting a little bit more visibility and able to grow it. And if you did just discover the show, you'll notice on iTunes and Spreaker and Stitcher and SoundCloud, they only show, I think, the 50 most recent episodes. It's just the way those kind of systems seem to work. But if you want, you can listen to every single episode all the way back to the first, all 100% for free by just visiting golficity.com and just click on that podcast link at the top of the page, and you'll see a page with every episode. They're all right there. So you can listen to them, you can download them, you know, listen to them on the go, whatever you want to do. So, Mike, let's go ahead and do a quick word from our sponsor. And then I want to jump right into the show because I'm excited to get Steve and John on the show. So let's do that now. Let's do a quick word from our sponsor and then we'll bring them right on.
This episode of The Golf Podcast is sponsored by Bear Mattress, a direct-to-consumer brand mattress that helps people live an active lifestyle. Listen, I hate my mattress. It's holding me back in life, especially someone as active as me who works out 5 to 6 days a week and golfs at least twice a week. It takes a toll on my body. But as consumers, we're lazy and we don't like to make huge changes in our lives. Frank, I know you talk about how you struggle with your back for years. I'm excited for you to potentially get out there and try one of these. But check this out. Bear mattresses help you recover faster and improve athletic performance with killer technology, like optimal cooling comfort, which aids in muscle recovery.
They pride themselves on their salient, responsive textile technology. I don't know what that means, but let me tell you something. We know that it helps increase blood circulation and ultimately helps your body recover faster and stay cool while you sleep. And it even increases your energy for the next day of activities.
Yeah, and Mike, other than all those cool features you mentioned and how much amazing engineering goes into these things, the shocking thing is that the Bear mattresses come with an amazing price tag as well. You know, where mattresses in the big box stores can run you into $2,000-$3,000 range, and sometimes, Mike, you don't even know what you're getting. You can get a Bear from $500 for a twin to $950 for a king. Amazing. Under $1,000 for a king. And now listeners of our show can use coupon code GOLF, G-O-L-F, at checkout to get theirs $50 cheaper than that. So try your Bear mattress today. You can get a 100-night in-home trial. And if you're not completely thrilled, they'll pick it up and refund you 100% of your money. Mike, there are even guys on the PGA Tour who are loving this mattress because it helps them keep their body in golf shape. And now you can do the same.
Yeah. So check them out. BearMattress.com. Use promo code GOLF for $50 off at your purchase. This mattress, Frank, it looks like it'd be a game changer. So check them out. Once again, bearmattress.com. All right, Frank, back to the show.
Okay, so I want to welcome Steve Bann and John Heim to the show. Guys, welcome to the golf podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, so John, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes. Grew up playing golf. When I was young, I was a pretty decent golfer. I was one of the top junior and amateur players in Canada growing up. I had the British Open coverage on there, so I guess I better shut that down. and then I went to school, played NCAA golf for 4 years, decided I wanted to play professional golf, played professional golf for about 6.5 to 7 years. And that's how I got to know about Steve, because I played the Australasian Tour a couple of times, played in the U.S., played in Europe a little bit, played in South Africa, played in Canada. So had a decent career, but could not get on to the PGA Tour full time. So took another direction, got into business, started a company called Learning Links, work with corporate executives for a number of years. And I was working in Asia I was doing some executive coaching for a CEO, and he asked me if I could help his daughter, who was a tennis player, use the exact same thing I was doing with them to executive coach him and the information that I was providing for his executives. So over the course of about a year, I helped her, but we had to develop a process for athletes, or a process for athletes, and we did that. So when I came back to Canada, I started to get calls from agents and general managers and all sorts of different people around sports to help the athletes. And we've been doing that for about, I guess, 15 to 17 years now. So I work with all sorts of professional athletes from all the major sports leagues, elite amateur athletes, and related back to golf, since it is sort of my baby, because I grew up in the world of golf, I work with golfers on all tours. So that's sort of my background. It's the Reader's Digest version of where I come from. So, Steve, how about you?
Well, look, a similar start. I mean, my first preference was I wanted to be a tour pro, and I started. I played on the Australasian Tour from 1981 full-time up until about 1986, and then I took a club job where I was still playing about 12 or 14 events a year and trying to get back on the tour and maybe get to Europe or get to the US. And in 1988, I had a two-shot lead with three holes to play in the Australian Masters as a club pro with six of the top 10 players in the world, including Langer and Norman and Faldo. And I choked miserably. I finished double bogey, double bogey, and I didn't win. Had I won, I would have got starts in Europe and in the US, and I would have gone back and tried to extend my playing career. But as it turned out, the following year I was offered the state coaching job in Victoria, and two of the juniors in that state program were Robert Allenby and Stuart Appleby. And the following year, they introduced golf into the Institute of Sport, which is our government-backed program primarily set up for Olympic sports. They introduced golf, and I was appointed the founding head coach. So it was one of those fortuitous chokes in 1988. If I hadn't choked, I would have missed out on on that opportunity. But the Institute, the Victorian Institute of Sport program, their graduates, Jeff Ogilvie and Stuart Appleby, Aaron Baddeley, Robert Allenby, Richard Green, Mark Leishman, Marcus Fraser. So seven of those guys who came through that program starting as teenagers ended up making the top 50 in the world.
Wow. Well, I'm really glad that both of your journeys have brought you here, because I think this is a really important topic. We're going to talk a little bit about confidence tonight. And just starting right off the bat, your ebook, you know, Playing Golf with Confidence, has two aspects of it that I really love. One, it's highly actionable, and two, it's free. So I got a chance to dive into it a little bit, and I want to talk about this subject because I think it's something that's going to, I mean, here, right here, Steve, I mean, that's something that you experienced. I'm sure there was a lull in confidence after kind of blowing up late in that particular tournament, but it relates all the way up and down the spectrum to all aspects of golfers. I mean, we just saw an article today come out on PGAtour.com talking about Jason Day and the switch that he's seen in when just bringing some confidence into his game and where he started to really take off and that him being able to turn that corner. So let's talk about it a little bit. How is it, you know, that you guys picked getting deep into this particular topic and what can we kind of start to learn from it?
Do you want me to go first, Steve, or do you want to go?
Yeah, no, that'd be good. You go first, John.
Well, Frank, we wanted to do first of all, we wanted to do something different. And by the way, it's $20 for you, so it's not free for you. So you can send us a check for $20. No, I'm just kidding.
I saved enough strokes to make it worth it. I'll send you the $20.
I think Steve and I wanted to do something a little different. As you both know that, as we all know here, even the listeners, golf instruction, it's so widespread and it's been done basically. I mean, how many times can you do golf instruction? So we wanted to do something completely different. And golf, confidence in golf is, like you said, is an important topic. It's a huge topic and it impacts golfers in a major way. So that's how we originally, Steve and I talked and we said, let's do something a little bit different. So we wanted to do and really dive into the golf confidence. So we sort of scratched the surface a little bit in the ebook, as you, like you saw when you read it. Then we got into the first webinar, which you've listened to. Now we're really going to start getting into it, how we can directly impact people and sort of you talked about the action, and that's what we're, sort of the next number of webinars, that's what we're going to get into, really help people action this and develop their confidence. But I think it's important, first of all, to understand what confidence is. And that's what we try to do in the ebook, help people understand what it is, how you lose it, how you gain it, and then moving forward, kind of how to sustain it. That's our idea.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most elusive things, because that's what, you know, we've directly felt it. And I hear a lot of our listeners say it. They say, okay, I know confidence comes from playing well. So what do I do when I'm not playing well? How do I get there? I can have all the confidence in the world when I'm scoring well and I feel like I can just walk up and just hit the shot and just rely on it. But when I go up there and my knees are shaking because I don't have the confidence, how do I bring that out in my game?
Do you want to take that, Steve?
Yeah, look, I'll take it from even though John and I are both professional golfers and have played quite a few years of tournament golf, we tried to write this book together with John. John came at it more from the scientific side and me trying to come at it a little bit more from the sort of the streetwise side. But look, most of there's a thing that we call the confidence cycle, and we just touch on it in the ebook, and we're going to expand on it a lot. And just about anybody who's developed confidence, doesn't matter whether it's sport or whether it's business or whether it's in relationships, go through these three basic steps. And step one is you've got to get the technique right. Now, the problem in golf is everyone thinks that if I get my technique right, I will be confident. But we kind of break it down. We say, well, confidence that you gain from having a good technique is about 30%. So you're still a long way short of total confidence. The next 30% is we need to develop skill. What can I do with that technique? Now, we know in golf there's 11 shot categories, and there's uphill and downhill and winds and all these different things that come into it. So you've got a whole lot of skills that you have to extend that that technique to, so you can start to know that I can move the ball right to left, or I can hit it low into the wind. And then the next part is the part that kids do it all the time when they're playing and growing up, is they simulate. And they simulate and they imagine that they're in a competition, and they put themselves under pressure, and this one's to win the British Open. And they do it most of the time by just playing a game, and they compete against each other. Now, kids love games, mm-hmm. and that's how they develop their confidence. So they learn the technique, they develop the skill, and then they play a game and test it, and then they use that game to assess the things that they need to improve. Now, that, we say, makes up 90% of confidence. So technique, skill, test, or make a game of it. And then the last 10%, and this is really important, is choosing to remember that practice success and having that being a dominant thought in competition out on the golf course. And the only way you can actually do that is to attach emotion, positive emotion, to your practice. And most people are pretty lazy in their practice. They only get angry or have emotion when they hit a bad shot. They take the good shots for granted. So when they're under pressure and they're in an emotional state, the only things that they seem to be able to remember are the negative shots. And that's and obviously triggers off a chain of events, which we then head back to the practice fairway and work for the next 5 hours on our technique to try and fix.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I see that so often when you can ask somebody after a round, you know, they can rattle off every single thing that went bad out there and every single missed opportunity. But you ask them, well, you know, you played 18 holes, something good must have happened out there. What is it? And they can't think of it sometimes, even though there most definitely is. So we've talked about in previous episodes, Mike and I, about even kind of creating a little journal of positive things, just finding three good things that you can write down after a round or something like that. But why is it that you think that so many golfers on all levels are so naturally almost seems wired towards the negative side? It just seems like we will refuse to concentrate on what went right. We refuse to pat ourselves on the back.
It's behavior, I think, Frank. And one interesting thing too is human beings have a tendency to be negative. It's our way to do things. We're negative in everything. We focus on the negative. I mean, it's like the car accident. You can't stop looking at the car accident, right? So it's just the way it is. So you have to condition yourself, and you have to put really good stuff into your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind runs the show. Mm-hmm. It runs everything. It runs all your systems beneath your consciousness. So everything you put into your subconscious mind at some time will come out. So that's why you have to have quality practice. That's why you have to talk to yourself really well. Talk to yourself in a positive way. When I wrote my book, I wrote this book called You Are a Contender, and I created this concept called the emotional caddy. And you create this guy who talks to yourself, right? And the most important voice in your life is your own. And you really have to condition it and shape it and work at it. I mean, this is the whole idea of, you know, people work on the physical part, people work on the technical part, people work on the tactical or strategic part. You have to work on the mental and emotional part. And one thing you can do is to create this voice and make it positive, so that you're feeding really good stuff into your subconscious mind. And when you go out to practice, your practice has to be really quality. It can't be lazy. It can't be crappy. It can't be, you know, just wasting time. It has to be real good quality, because that also goes into your subconscious mind. And if you put real good quality practice, like Steve was talking about, and test it into your subconscious mind, then that's what you'll get coming out. So it's our nature, really, as human beings, to be negative, and we have to shift it, and you have to work at it, and you have to be positive, and it will help you kind of moving forward.
Yeah, it's like you said, the most important voice is your own. And yet the funny thing is that's often the most pessimistic voice. You know,
yes.
You're out on the course, your buddies you're playing golf with aren't saying, well, you really screwed that shot up. You know, it's you who's telling yourself this. So it's so interesting that comes about. So let's just talk for a moment about effective practice. So I think a big part of it is certainly simulating that pressure. Kind of like what Steve was saying, like we knew naturally as a kid where we'll say, you know, bottom of the ninth, base is loaded and, you know, two outs and I'm up to bat and I got everything riding on me and I'm, you know, it hit it out of the park. But, you know, what is it exactly, you know, that we can do during our practice sessions that we can start to both challenge ourselves and kind of simulate the pressure so that it's not something new once we hit the course, but at the same time also work some positivity in, you know, like actually feel good with our practice session?
I'll let Steve take this one, but I'll just set it up here, Steve, in that, you know, I think, Frank, we see that the feelings that people have on the practice tee and the feelings people have on the course are totally different. Mm-hmm. So you really, Steve can address this, but I think one of the things and the great thing Steve talked about is the test and, you know, the practicing of the new skill. And you have to put pressure on your practice too, because you can't have this la-di-da type attitude on the practice tee. And all of a sudden you make this really hard transition to the first tee and everything is different. So mm-hmm. let's kind of Steve take it from there and his experience on that.
Oh, look, there's no doubt. Look, I wrote an article quite a few years ago for one of the Australian golf magazines called The Confidence Cycle. And I referred to Robert Allenby as a kid, who I worked with Robert for nearly 20 years, and Robert read the article, which I was thrilled at because I didn't think he could read. But anyway, well, look, he's like the little brother that you just want to punch. But if anyone else punched him, I'd defend him. So Bob said to me, "said Well, why would you write an article saying I did all of those things?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well." He said, you know, you said that you used me as an example for the confidence cycle. And, you know, at this stage, Robert had won 11 straight playoffs in tournaments. His record was 11 from 11 sudden death playoffs. So he's obviously pretty good at confidence. And I said, well, okay, you tell me, when you were a kid, what happened? He said, well, I used to come down to the range and you'd give me a lesson, we'd work on my swing. And then I'd say, well, what had happened next? He said, well, then you made me hit draws and fades and highs and lows. And then what? He said, well, you'd pair me up with the other kids and we'd have a competition. I said, well, which part of that isn't what I just wrote about? So it was just, it's the competition that you have to add at the end. That is the key. You've got to have that simulation, that pressure. It's got to have a boundary goal. And this is the thing with practice that's different from the driving range to the golf course. The real intimidation in golf is not the target, it's the boundary. It's the left and right side of the fairway, trees, out-of-bounds fences, rough bunkers, water hazards, and it's over the back of the green and short of the green. It's the left and right side of the hole. So everything we do when we're simulating in practice, we set up a boundary. Now, I'm in Alabama this week, unfortunately not at the British Open, but I've got four guys I work with, and one of the guys, Cam Percy, we did a test at the end on the range today, and Wednesday's test day. And we picked a gap between two bunkers on the range that was about 20 yards wide, and we played four lots of four balls. And so if he hits all 16 shots through that 20-yard gap, he scores 16. So there's four par fours. If he misses on the safe side, it's a bogey, so that's 2 points. And if he misses on what we call the out-of-bounds side, it's 3 points. So that's a double bogey. So if the idea is you've got to hit four balls through. We did three wood first of all, and I think he got three through and missed one on the safe side. So he scored a five. Mm. And on the next one, we made the left side out-of-bounds, and he missed one out-of-bounds. So he scored a six. So the idea is you keep doing that with your full competition routine until you can actually score 16. You put 16 in a row through there. Now, when he stands up on the first tee tomorrow and looks down the fairway, all of his recall of that practice success, even though it takes quite some time because it can be frustrating if you're just missing a little bit, he recalls that success, he stripes it down the first hole, and then he feeds off that confidence for the rest of the day. So that's basically what we do every week. Monday's technique, Tuesday's skill, Wednesday's test.
It makes a lot of sense. So the confidence is really leaning on that idea of saying mentally in the mind, I've been here before. You know, I can say you can relate it to a lot of things in life. I mean, outside of the golf world, if you were to think, what are the things that I do and you reflect on it that I'm most confident in, I would say that the answer is going to come back that the things that you're most confident in are the things that you do the most often. And when you get to that point, you feel very comfortable with it. And I think that that's a really strong point, because so many golfers we see, especially in a mid to a higher handicap, they go to the range and they just dump out a bucket of balls. And the only relationship they're thinking to practice is how many balls they hit versus how effective each ball was. And then they wonder why that doesn't transition to the first tee. So I think, Steve, what you said there, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, look, and if I can add to that, I mean, most of the guys that I've worked with over the years, and, you know, and two of the guys in their mid-40s now, and with KJ Choi and Stuart Appleby, they're on the range finding out what's working on the day. On Thursday morning, they're feeding off their Wednesday practice, but if the ball's going 10 yards left and they can't quite figure out why, they're going to go out and aim 10 yards right. Mm. That's why they've been on tour for 20 years.
Right.
And then they go to the range afterwards and figure it out. So even when you do everything what seems like perfectly in your preparation, for some reason you get up on Thursday morning and it doesn't quite feel right, you play with the one you've got.
Right. It doesn't mean that all the other confidence has to go out the window, in other words. You can still build on that and work with it. Right.
Find a way to hit fairways, find a way to hit greens, and if you don't, get it up and down. And, you know, it quite often when you start playing that way, it sorts itself out anyway.
Yeah.
That's Frank, that's the pot or the proactive and the reactive confidence too. I'll often have athletes call me, the very best athletes in the world. A guy will call me from one of the top professionals in his league in the world, and he'll say, I've lost my confidence. And I say, well, where do you think it is? Is it under the bed? Is it under the couch? And often an athlete chooses to lose their confidence. They have one little small blip and they think it cracks everything and it cracks the entire foundation of their confidence. Where if you're in the best league in the world, my answer to this guy is, look, you're in the best league in the world. You've been the best at every level. You are the best in college. You're making $8 million a year playing your sport. You're incredible at what you do. You've had one little small cycle of bad play. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. You're still a great player, and you've chosen to say that you've lost your confidence. You have not lost your confidence. It's just beneath the surface, and it will come back in a game or two or three, whenever, but just be patient. And that's what proactive confidence is. You have to be really patient with it. Mm-hmm. And you know that you've built it over time and you have this big solid bedrock of confidence. So it's always there. But sports is really funny. It goes in cycles. We all know, Steve knows, being out on tour all the time, that players can't play well all the time. It's just the nature of sports, and it's the nature of being a human being. You can't play well all the time, so you're going to have little down cycles, but it should not impact your confidence. That is a choice you make to lower it.
And that's right there, too, is such a good example of that negative self-talk that we talked about. By even just saying to yourself, I've lost my confidence, you know, all the positive things you said in response to that, that's what it sounds like. We're trying to shift gears, be able to tell ourselves that a little bit instead of jumping to such a dramatic negative of saying not only that it's, oh, my confidence is waning, I've lost it. My confidence is gone. You know, these are one of those things that we say, just kind of switch gears and don't be so negative on yourself.
Yeah, and when you talk about that voice again, too, Frank, you're talking about, you know, what do you usually say to your best friend? If your best friend misses a shot, right, you usually say, hey, don't worry about it, you'll get the next one. But what do you usually say to yourself? Hey, you dummy, how can you possibly miss that shot, right? It's really funny how we are on ourselves, and feeding that information, that negative information into the subconscious mind is just so damaging to the overall, your overall confidence and your overall play. So you really have to be careful with that voice. That's an important thing.
So from a psychological standpoint, how long do you think it would take someone, if they're, you know, really working at it, to start to see real lingering, you know, results of shifting from being that negative thinking to positive thinking?
Well, it's hard to say, because it'll differ from person to person, but I think it's important for people to start the process and keep working on it, and you will see results. things will change. And the other thing too, Frank, you know, for all the listeners, is you will enjoy the game more. You know, it's a lot more fun being positive and feeding these positive things into your subconscious than it is than constantly being negative and focusing on those negative shots. So focus on the good ones, even though there may not be many of them sometimes. Focus on those good ones, and it'll help you enjoy the game more too.
Right. Yeah, that's what we say. It doesn't have to be that many. You can always find something in a round that you can start to focus good on, even on your worst round, and it will help. All right. So, you know, I don't want to keep you guys from the open too long here. I know you're both busy guys and a lot going on. So why don't you, before I let you go, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about, you know, how we can find out more about you, about your program, the ebook, the webinars, as you mentioned. Tell us a little bit more and our listeners about how we can find that.
Steve, you want to go first?
The ebook you can find on a website called golfconfidencetraining.com.
That's it.
Easy enough. I like it.
golfconfidencetraining.com, and then look from there. You know, once you download the ebook, and it is absolutely free, no catches at all. Then there's a, you know, it's easy to find John and I and then progress on from there. So I think if everyone just went to golfconfidencetraining.com, they can find that. They can then they've got access to the first webinar that we've already done, and they can find out all about us and what we plan on doing. And basically what we want to do is help people grow their confidence and in turn grow the game of golf and the enjoyment from it.
Well, it's certainly a noble pursuit, and it's something that I think a lot of people can really benefit from. Like I said, I've benefited from the book, so it's just a no-brainer. It's a free book. I encourage everyone to check it out. We'll link to that in the show notes, as if it's not easy enough anyway. We'll link to it in the show notes as well so that everybody can grab a copy for themselves. But John, Steve, again, I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and hopefully our listeners will get a little shot of confidence just from this conversation.
Thank you so much, Frank and Mike. It's really been a pleasure, and you guys do a great job with the show. So I'll be tuning in to weekly to listen to this.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys, you take care. All right, Mike, another great interview. Like I said, we do our interviews kind of sporadically, and it's really when something sparks our interest. This is something that has been an interest of mine for quite some time, because I've always been baffled by it, as most people are with confidence. You know, you heard what John was talking about, some of like the greatest players in the world calling him and saying they lost their confidence. So I think it's something that's important to understand and to take away from this, that when it happens to you and you don't feel confident, not to go down that negativity cycle and just keep making it worse. You know, switch over in your mind, think about the positive things that your buddy might be telling you when he's playing with you, and just try to be a little bit more positive. You know, we talked about it extensively in previous episodes about just kind of keeping a little journal or something of just the stuff that went right and just switching that. And the stuff that Steve was talking about that focus practice, man. I mean, you hear it coming from a guy who has taken players from nothing to winning millions on tour. And Steve truly knows what he's talking about. So that's where you can kind of take a little bit of advice that would cost you quite a bit of money working with Steve one-on-one, and take that and use that free advice that he's giving us here, and get out there and do the focus practice session, set up the boundaries, like he said, you know, put a little bit of pressure into your practice. And then what's going to happen is, you know, it's going to be tough at first. It's going to be take work like anything. But when you start to get out there and start to play on the course and you start to realize, I'm confident because I feel like I've been here before. I've been faced with this pressure before. Trust me, it's going to work.
Yeah, and that's the challenge. I mean, it's hard not to hook a ball into the pond and not be upset with yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really going to be a struggle, but I really love what they said, especially that part you just mentioned again about what would your buddy say to you if you did it? And I got to try to act like that, because I am pretty hard on myself out there as well. I mean, we all are.
Yeah.
And this game is not going to go well if we're beating ourselves up out there. So I thought this was an excellent, excellent conversation.
Right. You make a little mental caddy for yourself. You know,
right.
Think of the most positive person you know, and then just kind of make them your little mental caddy when you're out there, and just saying, like, what would I say to myself? And like I I said, just go back, remember those good things that are going on, and you'll be able to improve. And definitely check out the ebook. Like I said, we don't talk about or promote anything that we haven't tried ourselves and we don't think works. So it's free, and it's excellent. I will link to that in the show notes, which you can get to by going to golficity.com/episode125. All right. So we'll be back again next week. In the interim, like I said, if you haven't had a chance to do so, please take a second to leave us a quick iTunes review. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear those honest feedback about the show. And if you just take a second to hit that subscribe button, it'll really help us grow the show as well. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Steve and John for taking the time to talk to us, to talk to us today. And I'm going to, you know, until next time, like I said, keep those emails coming. Email us at podcast@golficity.com. Let us know how your game is going. And we look forward to talking to you all again next week. I'll see you then.